From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. A massive leak of more than 13 million documents from a secretive Bermuda-based firm called Applebee's has shone light on the money dealings of many wealthy elites. In the spirit of the Panama Papers from the firm Mossack Fonseca, which were published 2 years ago, this latest data dump has been dubbed the Paradise Papers. A pair of German reporters got a hold of the documents from Applebee's and shared them with nearly 400 journalists working for more than 90 media outlets in 67 nations. The International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, which released the Panama Papers, has also published the entire Paradise Papers trove in a searchable database. Among the controversial findings are business links between Donald Trump's Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross and Vladimir Putin's son-in-law, as well as details of how the Russian government has investments in Twitter and Facebook through shell companies. Figures like Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, the Queen of England, and even pop star Bono are cropping up in relation to the Paradise Papers. My guest is Liz Nelson. She is the Director of Tax Justice and Human Rights at the UK-based Tax Justice Network. Welcome to the program, Liz.
Hi. Thanks, Sonali. Yeah.
So I suppose we shouldn't be terribly surprised by what's revealed here. Just the scope of what has been revealed is so huge. Your organization had also done a lot of analysis of the Panama Papers, which was the previous data dump from Mossack Fonseca in the Panama. How does this compare? How does the Paradise Papers trove of documents compare to the Panama Papers?
Well, Sonali, it's very similar. It has very similar traits. It describes very similar kind of behavior in terms of the very wealthy and corporates. The number of documents is slightly less, but nevertheless, it covers many secrecy jurisdictions, which we call, which otherwise called tax havens. And I suppose the other thing about it is that it's because the law firm Applebee's is at the center of the leaked documents. Many of the tax havens we're talking about are UK overseas territories or crown dependencies, which mean that they have a governmental link to the UK.
So Applebee is one of these firms that has prided itself on its ability to shield its clients from view, right? And so this is also what, and of course, that's what a lot of these firms promise, but this one apparently had a reputation going back about a century of shielding its clients. And that's what makes this particular trove all the more interesting, because these were people who never expected to have their dealings become public.
That's right. I mean, certainly these leaked documents, I think, go back to the 1950s, although some of the more interesting ones are obviously, as far as we know, I mean, worth saying that for the general public, for us, this haul of documents is very new to us. So we don't quite know the depth of it. But Applebee's, certainly if you look on Applebee's website, they deny all wrongdoing. And to many cases, they may well have been working within the law. But they do specialise in work which includes maintaining offshore trusts, setting up offshore companies, advising clients on how to structure their businesses in tax havens. And it has offices in a number of tax havens, you know, Bermuda, the British Virgin Islands, Cayman, Jersey, so on and so forth. And yes, it's very similar to Mossack Fonseca and the work they did. It is part of one of the top ranking, if you like, law firms, which is part of the so-called magic circle, a kind of informal gathering or grouping of law firms, offshore law firms. And they have a lot of kind of connections between themselves as well.
And among the news outlets that had been given access to this database and that sort of published all at once these analyses of the documents was the Guardian newspaper, which is based in the UK. It was a German newspaper that first revealed the that first actually got a hold of the documents and shared them with these other news outlets. And by the way, for our video audience, the video we were just watching was the Guardian newspaper's a video of how the rich store their money offshore. But why don't you explain it, Liz, to our audience? You know, for the rest of us mere mortals who don't have millions to hide, how exactly does it work, and why, you know, why is it these beautiful tropical islands that become places where that are home to so many shell companies? So explain the process. If you have $10 million that you don't want to pay taxes on, what might you do?
Well, you might, if you're a wealthy individual, one of the things that you might do is, well, a couple of things you could do. You could set up a company in which is in effect your company and your wealth, and you can register that in one of the offshore jurisdictions. It's a very simple thing to do. There are many, both law firms and other enablers that will help you do that, and you can put, and because of the secrecy laws there and the low tax rates, you can if you like stash your money away from prying eyes of regulators and other enforcement authorities. So the lawyers who are at the center of this operate in the tax avoidance trade. They implement tax avoidance schemes and set up companies. They'll help you draw up a contract. They will find you directors. So if you need a director, if you don't want to be named, they will find you a director. And that provides a certain level of secrecy. Another, perhaps even more closed financial vehicle in which you can keep your money is a trust, and the trust is something that that you appoint a trustee, which might be a lawyer, and then you and you as the settlor put the assets in the trust, and at some point the trustee gives those assets to a beneficiary. Now in reality, trusts are a very ancient form of financial vehicle, and there are many forms of trusts, and they're very complex, and they're highly, highly secretive. So it's very difficult to find out, you know, who is the settlor, who is the beneficiary, who is the trustee. And in fact, there are many cases where that people have put their assets in trust, their wealth in trust, where the settlor, the trustee, and the beneficiary is the same person. Mm-hmm. One of the important things I think is to remember is that sometimes the tax haven or secrecy jurisdiction is used to evade tax, which is illegal, and sometimes it's used to avoid tax. We would say, and I think this is a quite important. I think many of your listeners might have heard on in news reports that what's the problem? Tax evasion is illegal. What's the problem with tax avoidance? That people have every right to do some tax planning. But I think the important thing I think to say about tax avoidance, I think someone once said that the difference between evasion and avoidance was the thickness of a prison wall. In other words, tax evasion is illegal and avoidance is legal. We think that's far too simplistic, and there is a deliberate effort in tax avoidance to avoid the tax authorities.
So let's talk about what I mean. There's so many things here that this trove of new trove of documents, Paradise Papers, was revealed. There's a searchable database that you can go to the website of the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists and do your own digging. But your organization, the Tax Justice Network, has honed in on one particular case, and that's the case of the Queen of England. What has the Queen been found to have done in terms of tax avoidance slash, evasion?
The Queen, I think important to remember that the Queen affairs are run through what is something called the Duchy of Lancaster. And it is the Duchy of Lancaster through the Queen's estate that has used offshore financial vehicles it would seem to avoid tax. I think TJN and other commentators are not suggesting that the Queen herself, I suspect, probably knew nothing of this, and it's probably a great disservice to her that her advisors and within the Duchy of Lancaster have put her in this extremely embarrassing position. So what has happened is that some of her wealth has been put in various the Cayman Islands funds, and where her, part of her private estate has been invested. So it's extremely embarrassing. How the Queen deals with it, or the Duchy of Lancaster deal with it, we will see in due course.
We'll also be covering in depth in our program about how Donald Trump's Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, is implicated. Issues that are very important for U.S. politics. But any thoughts on what has been revealed in terms of links between the U.S. and Russia, an issue that has taken greater significance around the election here? It has attacked Justice Network looked into the ways in which money can be funneled through these tax havens to also simply obscure political dealings.
No, well, we haven't investigated in detail some of these, and as I said, we are still ourselves trawling through
right.
The leaked documents and piecing together the picture. I think probably the important thing, it is interesting to, and it's illustrative to look at individuals here, but one of the important things is to remember that the real problem here is the system, and that whether it be Wilbur Ross and connections with Vladimir Putin, whether it's the Duchy of Lancaster or the Formula One champion Lewis Hamilton, there is a tax avoidance system which allows firms like Applebee's to circumvent the intention and the spirit of the law. It is possibly true that many of the financial architecture that we have globally, tax law, needs to change. But nevertheless, the point is there's a great deal of very deliberate activity to circumvent what the intention of the law was in terms of tax. That's the kind of element that, the point that needs to be changed.
And people are pointing to the sort of hypocrisy we see, particularly when political figures, politicians are seen linked to some of these goings on. For example, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, who made part of his platform taxing the rich and campaigning against tax havens, it's found that his chief chief fundraiser of his party has been linked to an offshore trust. I'm wondering finally, Liz, what you make of the sort of plausible deniability that some of these people might claim they have, that, hey, I didn't know the Queen might claim, I didn't know the details of where my money was being passed through, funneled through and invested through. I simply hire the lawyers and they do what's best for my money. If I had known, I wouldn't have participated in this. How do you respond to those claims?
Well, I think it's very hard for people to hear those claims because I'm not so familiar with the system in the US, but in the UK there are a number of people, many people under austerity who are called benefit cheats and benefit frauds and various, and
our term here is welfare queens. That's one of the terrible terms that politicians bandy about. Yeah,
exactly. So the kind of double standards is very difficult, particularly when individual countries are implementing very austere fiscal policy, when global equality is at an all-time high in terms of the haves and the have-not, and so it makes protestations from politicians and so on about it very hollow when you actually see what's happening in terms of their private affairs and their links, particularly to the secrecy jurisdictions.
Now, the fallout from the 2015, and I want to correct, I said the Panama Papers were released last year, it was actually 2 years ago. The fallout from the release of the Panama Papers, while it didn't result in a cracking down of tax havens, some of the things that came out of it was a downfall of political figures such as the Prime Minister of Iceland. Do you expect anything similar to happen from the release of the Paradise Papers, or are we going to be told, oh, there's nothing to see here, move along?
Well, I think there'll be some people working overtime 24 hours a day to make sure the latter, that we are distracted and look at other things and not dig deep in here. But these issues here are very much about our democracy. It's very much about the very wealthy and a very significant multinational companies being able to circumvent the rule of law and the sort of contract that the rest of us all live in, that we have to pay taxes if we want roads, if we want health, if we want schools, etc. Mm-hmm. So I think the double standards is very hard to swallow, and I don't think people will move along as quickly as some of the people who are involved in these leaks would like.
Liz, give out the website for the Tax Justice Network.
It is www.taxjustice.net.
And we'll post a link to that from our website later today. We'll be covering and digging into the details of the Paradise Papers a lot in the coming days and weeks. Liz, thanks so much for getting us started on looking at this huge story.
Thank you very much.
Liz Nelson is the Director of Tax Justice and Human Rights at the UK-based Tax Justice Network, and we've been discussing the Paradise Papers. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.